AAC Tuesday, September the 5th, 2017.
Good evening. I'm here tonight for the first time as a Metro Access senior choir. Overall, I have experienced very good, warm reception from the drivers. I have no issue with that. However, last Tuesday I experienced being picked up at 10 of 7, which was within my time frame. I was on Metro Access riding past my appointment time until I finally had to say something. My concern is that I did not know my rights. How long are you supposed to be? It's acceptable to be on Metro Access riding. I do have issues with my bladder. I've taken my blood pressure medicine. I had to go to the restroom, and I'm riding 2.5 hours, missing my appointment. When I make the effort to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to be on time and make my arrangements 4 days in advance, if there's an accident or something that you cannot help, humanly possible, I understand that. But not just riding, going past where I was going, when in close proximity of our university hospital, and yet kept on going and went to Providence, and then picking up folks in Brooklyn when you have not dropped me off and I'm late for my appointment. So that's one thing. The other thing was, one Saturday I'm waiting, I have a $75 ticket for prayer brothers. I'm on the program, Metro Access never showed up, and I could not reach them on the phone. And yet when I came out of the prayer brothers, the second half of my ride, they're waiting on me, but yet they didn't show up to take me. So my concern is for those, I'm verbal and I can't talk for myself, but what about those that are handicapped and those that are disabled and cannot speak up for themselves? I have great concern, and that's what makes me decide to come and see where the accountability is in Metro Access and the planning of the trip. I have been on Metro Access where they're in close proximity of my house, and they're going to turn around because a trip is added to go pick up someone else, which absolutely makes no sense to me. So that's some of my concerns. That's the reason I'm here. Thank you.
I'm sorry to hear those concerns. I'm also on the board. I'm the Metro Access Subcommittee Chair. There is Metro Access staff here who will be approaching concern to investigating them and giving you a timely response. I do want to let you know we have a subcommittee that meets every third Wednesday of the month before 6 p.m. here. So
Third Monday.
What?
Third Monday of the month.
Yeah, third Monday of each month. Thank you for correcting me. Where we go through policy and issues, and there's a period for customers to express their concerns or accommodations about the services that directly interact on back and give the customers feedback. But there is staff here, they will be approached from my seat behind you, and they will get those concerns and get them thoroughly investigated. Thank you. Any staff here who's respond to that, we'll move them next person.
Patrick, I'm right here. We have another public comment.
I think we do.
Okay, very well.
My name is. My name is Daniel Stevens, and my daughter is an intellectually disabled 19-year-old who rides Metro Access. The reason I'm here is I'm trying to get Metro to put in a bus stop close to where my daughter and other kids ride horses. It's just beyond the intersection, it's the Z2 line, just beyond the intersection of 198 off New Hampshire Avenue. There is no bus stop right up there. Metro said they won't put one in and they want the kids to cross 198. And so I'm asking you here at this committee meeting, I'm not sure really what I'm doing, but I'm here to ask you to help me get them to put in a bus stop for the kids.
So, now when you said you spoke to Metro won't put it in, do you remember what department or what individual you spoke to?
So I went through two politicians, because they said I needed to contact my local representative. And my local representative said that Metro does not want to put a bus stop in because there's an issue with buses merging. And I don't think that's true. I think if you go out there, the buses don't have to merge. It's right, you know, the area where New Hampshire Avenue narrows from four lanes to two lanes.
So that's cool. Let me take their information, but generally speaking, and this, I'm just saying this for the group is in. Unless the property is Metro-owned property, and that primarily means Metro rail stations, Metro doesn't own bus stops. So in general, we're not the ones installing the bus stops. We would work with the local government, in this case of Washington, D.C., to say, this may be a good location for a bus stop. I don't know if my colleagues have done that and said that. We'll follow up. But in the end, the decision of a bus stop being on that property, because I don't own the property, will not necessarily reside in the metro. I just want to be clear on that. But I'll work with you. We'll get your information. I'll follow up with my colleagues to see what they know about this particular request and see if it works as a bus stop. And then we can reach out to the district.
Is it possible, Mr. Blake, we could maybe put this on the agenda for bus rail?
So that's fine.
On it. Yeah.
Okay. This is in Maryland, if I'm correct, right?
This is in Clover, Maryland.
Yeah, so this is Montgomery County.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
In the section, this is Montgomery County.
Okay. Well, in that case, we'll be working with the Montgomery County colleague, who's very active. I mean, I don't call her name, I put her on the spot, but we have a very good working relationship with Montgomery County for bus stops and accessible stops. But again, it will be up to the county to determine that. So we'll follow up with my colleagues, but I won't make any promises because we don't install bus stops.
Sir, I was just also informed that Mr. Henry will be coming to our bus rail meeting, which is next week from 4 to 6. He is in charge of all things bus rail.
So I should come to that.
So you certainly would be welcome to come to that meeting and talk to him directly. Now, we do find many times that there are some bus stops that are Lamar bus stops. A lot of the bus stops are county bus stops, which means we need to approach the right set of individuals with the right plans to move forward. But he certainly can speak from the Lamar standpoint. And and let you know where things stand. So that will be 4 to 6, same room, and bus run subcommittee to talk about all things, bus stops, that sort of thing. Good, thank you, sir. That's good. Thank you, B, for that information. Good.
Yes, we got
any other? Any other public comments?
Yes, Patrick, we have one more public comment.
Okay.
Okay, she said it's not working, it's Heidi's case. Is there any possibility that I could, is there any possibility I can hold off until we hear about Abilities Ride?
That's up next.
Are you willing? I would appreciate it.
Yes, we can, I'm sure there'll be questions. And I'm sure Mr. Blake is just...
he shook his head yes.
Bursting the top of his hands.
After that, then I can comment.
Excellent, okay.
Thank you so much, Pat.
Thank you, Heidi. Ms. Blake, you are up next. Abilities Ride is next on the agenda. I know that we had some questions from members, new members particularly, on where we are, what it is, how it got developed, all that sort of thing. So maybe you could give a little bit of preamble to set it up and then talk to us about where it is and where it's going.
Mr. Chair, this is Steve. Before we move to Abilities Ride, I want to take a moment to share for
thank
the information.
You, yes.
With the committee, we just kind of jumped off faster than I could catch up this time. But I wanted to let members know that former AAC member Roger Stanley passed away on Monday, August the 14th. He'll have services on Saturday, September the 9th, 2017 at 3 p.m. at Kensington Baptist Church. It is 10100 Connecticut Avenue, Kensington, Maryland. The pastor tells me all members or anybody from the public that wants to attend the service, they are welcome, and he provided the address to where to send flowers or cards or notes to his family. So I wanted to just take a moment of silence for our former AAC member before we got too far in the meeting. I will definitely email that info to all members and some former members where we still have valid email addresses. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, B. Thank you. All right, Mr. Blake, you are up next with Abilities Ride. So we'd be very pleased to hear what you have to say. It's been a topic we've been working toward for a little over a year, I think.
Maybe so. But good evening, members of the committee, the audience. Approximately 30 minutes ago, a press release did go out announcing the companies that the Abilities Ride program is going to begin with. But following the direction of the chairman, we'll just say, let's just give a quick background, is that Metro truly believes in the ADA, and one of the things the ADA says about paratransit services such as Metro Access is that it should be a safety net, not the primary option for people with disabilities. And to that end, we're absolutely 100% committed to ensuring that our bus and rail system remain the most accessible in this nation, but and continue to improve the accessibility of those two services. Bus and rail will always be the number one alternative to paratransit because it's always the most flexible and most open and available system there is. But to that extent, we know that in some cases, bus and rail simply doesn't work for every customer in all circumstances. So to that extent, the Bridgeline here at Metro and Department of Access Services is continuing our efforts to find and create alternatives to Metro Access for all customers in, where we can make it happen. This isn't something new. We've long had in Virginia, and I thought I saw my buddy earlier. Stepped out of the room, I guess. But we've long had STAR and FASTTRAN in Virginia that really have led the way. More recently, you've heard about the CAP service in Maryland for trips to and from human services agencies. And then, of course, the latest of the big ones was Transport DC in Washington, DC. Well, the next one that we have up is now called Abilities Ride. And Abilities Ride is going to be a service that allows all Metro Access customers, all customers who are traveling, whose trips begin in Maryland and end in Maryland, to take an alternative to Metro Access. And the companies that were awarded following an extensive technical and cost evaluation and solicitation are Regency Taxi and Silver Cab. Both companies located in the state of Maryland. Customers are going to be sent information, and we're going to provide information on Metro's website and other sources where you'll be provided either a phone number, you will be provided a phone number, a website, as well as the name of a smartphone app. And customers will be able to choose one of those three methodologies of selecting either company to provide their trip that begins and ends in Maryland. The customer will be required to pay the first $5 of a fare. Metro will pick up the next 15, and any fare above $20, the customer will be required to provide. The services, Regency, for example, their billing is one method, because again, these are companies that we're using their service. Customers are going to be using the Regency cab service, not a Metro service. Customers will be using the Silver cab service, not a Metro service. So we're subsidizing a portion of your fare as an incentive to try one of these alternatives. There'll be slightly different pricing models. For example, the Regency cab will be a flat $5 fare up to 9 miles. So that means rather you're going around the corner, or you're going down the block a little bit, or you're taking a 9 mile trip. You can, estimate for yourselves where 9 miles would be. It would cost you $5. If you go beyond the 9 mile trip on Regency, then their regular fare median kicks in, and you will pay any cost above that. Silver cab will be meter right from the start, and for about $5, you will get to approximately 7 miles. But let's say you're going 2 miles. 2 mile trip on Silver Cab may cost you only $3. So now you have a choice. You have the Regency service that has one model. You have the Silver Cab service that has another pricing model. And of course, we start off with a RFP that all of you had a chance, older members have had a chance to review, and many members of the audience I see had a chance to review. There will be approximately 70 wheelchair accessible vehicles available at the onset of the service. One PCA can travel with the customer with no added cost, and of course service animals and all the other accessible features that we expect on a private service, certainly not Metro Access, but certainly accessible features that are within the principles of Metro will be found on this service. So that's kind of the outline.
So may I ask one clarification question?
Yes.
You did say that you would be able to do a trip anywhere in Maryland, but really I think what you meant is Montgomery County, Prince George's County, right?
Well, yes, so let me clarify. You can take a trip anywhere that begins and ends within the Metro Access service area of Maryland.
So I can't go to the Eastern Shore. It's going to cost more than $5.
It's going to cost a lot more than $5.
Okay.
Phil has a question.
Go ahead, Phil.
Will this be like DC cab that you actually have to be Maryland resident to use it? Or can any Metro Access?
All Metro Access customers are eligible.
So if I get there from Virginia and I have Maryland Ride within the area, then I have that ability.
Absolutely.
On the cab company that's doing the meter, will they have add-ons footage or things like that, or is it just meter?
Straight fare, meter fare.
Great, thank you.
But let me jump to Heidi, because Heidi last for floor. After we do the introduction.
So, several questions. One of the things that had been previously discussed, and I'm going to rapid fire them so you can answer after, had been incentivizing those cabs to actually get additional funds when they take a wheelchair cab, uses actually transport someone within a wheelchair. Is that still? I'm confused about the metered thing. So in other words, you're not getting advantage of the $15 with one company, but you are with the other. That's confusing. If you can do a better job clarifying. And unfortunately, are you have the same plans as you did with Transport DC, which after 2 years, you've made it, you de-incentivized them to for the service by the MOU that you created. In other words, it would save them money from what they would pay Metro Access for 2 years, and then after that it stopped, and it came to a flat 2%, which again, last year at the same time, they had to cut Transport DC. You lovingly got on the phone and let everyone in DC know that they absolutely have the right to cut the service anytime they want to, even though last year what happened in September of last year, your on-time performance, at the same time, everybody had to switch back to Metro Access, dropped 10%. And it took you almost a year to get back to the on-time performance you had before you switched everybody. So, is it a two-year MOU and then they get screwed too, or?
Ms. Blaine, I think there's a couple of questions in there.
Those are excellent questions. Let's start with the first one. The wage premium is still in there. So yes, every $10, every time a customer is transported in a wage vehicle, let me clarify, anytime a customer who is in need of a wage vehicle, i.e. using a mobility device, is transported, the driver receives a $10 premium. For that trip. That's an incentive to make sure that the WAVE drivers are out there and are ready to provide service.
And WAVE being?
Wheelchair accessible vehicles, I apologize.
Yeah, just wanted to make sure that new committee members understood.
Really? The $15, no. You're going to get the $15 on either company you choose. The thing, what we're going to do is put some examples of fares up for people so that it can kind of be clear. But yes, every trip on Abilities Ride will have at least a maximum of a $15 Metro subsidy. So the question becomes, you should decide, well, one, if you just like one company or the other, that's up to you to just keep using that company. But there is a point where one company gets you a little further for your $5 versus the other, because the fare media for one company is just slightly higher than the other. So you can look at it and decide to save. But either way, whatever company you choose, one company is flat $5 up to 9 miles. That 9 mile trip, Metro's paying $15 for it. Another company is approximately 7 miles for $5 fare. The rest of the money is from us, is from Metro. And now on to the Transport DC question. I think that's a very good question, because we've done some things with this program a little different than Transport DC, because this is not Metro service, as we're clear on that, just like Transport DC is. But Metro is administering the program. So what that means is, let's say we come to the end of the fiscal year, and we're in June. Let's use the DC. The DC is usually September when the changes happen, or August. Yes, August is when we have make changes. Transport DC, very similar to this program, except it has a fixed budget. That budget is flat and firm at a certain amount. And that fixed budget only pays for a certain amount of trips. And as the management of the District of Columbia looks to, I got you, because there was a different, there was a different structure there. I got you. But right now it's a flat fixed budget. And as they're getting closer to maxing out that budget, they want that budget to last for the entire fiscal year. So that's where the changes come in. I know, please, you heard, I know the changes are hard, especially once you get used to a good service. So I'm not taking anything away from that. What we're doing with Abilities Ride, however, is we're going to continue the same type of analysis of trips. But if there are a great number of trips on Abilities Ride and customers are enjoying it, and Metro is seeing the transfer of customers from Metro Access to this program, Mr. Ken has agreed that we can always look at the end of the year, not at cutting or holding the budget in line, but in fact increasing the budget. So he's made that commitment, Metro has agreed with him in that commitment, and so at the end of the year, as we're getting close to the end of the fiscal year, instead of cuts, we're looking at potential increases if the program calls for it.
Why does Maryland rate that? Because we had that for the first 2 years and we lost it. And you know, just the thing is, you say it's to incentivize people to get off Metro Access to save you money, but in fact that is not what's happening with Transport PC the last 2 months of every year.
Let me just clarify one point. The key is that this is not a Maryland program. Metro is managing this program, where in D.C., Transport D.C., the District of Columbia is managing the program. So it's not Maryland making a different decision than D.C. Metro has made a fiscal decision on its funding and its budget that will not have that same impact. But let's talk more on it.
Yeah.
We have some more questions. But
let me jump to Charlie next. Charlie.
Can you hear me all right?
You might need to get closer, Charlie.
How close am I?
There you go. I think you're doing well.
Thank you. The fee structure in Maryland, what I'm confused with is the Regency taxi. Now, they go 9 miles for $5. Well, 1 mile for $5 don't matter. Pay $5. Now, if you go 11 miles, 12 or 15, and it costs $18, Metro is paying the difference between the 5 and the 18. Is that right?
No, sir. So the way that it's going to work is the $5 fare is going to be, the fare plus the Metro subsidy aspect of it. So if you go $18, what's going to happen, every time you call, use the app or the website, the cab company is going to give you the estimated fare. So every trip on one company, Regency, is going to be $5. That includes the Metro subsidy. If you go 18 miles and they tell you that the fare is a grand total of $25, then that becomes $5 for the customer, $15 for Metro, plus another $5 for the customer.
So in effect, the difference between the original $5 and 20 is paid by Metro irrespective of the amount of mileage.
For one company, yes.
What is the limit per day?
4 trips per day.
And
to start.
Can you say there's a number you're gonna be able to call?
Yes, ma'am. Both companies are gonna offer you telephone options as well as smartphone and website.
Two thumbs up to you.
So, Denise, what was that? Two thumbs up from Denise. That's good, Mr. Weiss. Very good. Let me go to Darnice.
That's a start.
There you go. Let me go to Darnice. Got a bunch of questions.
I have about three.
Go ahead, Darnice.
First of all, I'd say there'd be about 70 wheelchair vehicles for that between the two vendors. And don't answer yes. DC had like a pilot period, which is saying is that Metro is going to oversee, but I'm sure that you have a contract with David Linden for the first trial period. And what is that? And I got one more question. And are you able to ride from PG County to Montgomery County?
So, first question, 70 vehicles is divided by the two companies, but we're working together with both of them. Let's say one company's weight vehicles, wheelchair accessible vehicles, are really tied up a particular day. We're going to make sure that if they're busy, we're communicating with the other company and vice versa, and making sure that wheelchair accessible vehicles are available when any of our customers need. But yes, that is a division between the two companies. Yes, the first year is kind of our, we call it the base period, and we're projecting that perhaps 150,000 trips may be taken by Metro Access customers in that base period. So that's the first year pilot number, if you want to say that. That's the first year. But in the solicitation that you all got to review, if you notice, we increase that number each year, projecting that this is going to be a successful service. And then you have one last question.
The period of performance, though, what is the contract? How long?
One base year with four option years.
Four 1 year option years? Four option years with 1 year each?
One base year and 4 1-year options.
Okay.
And
good.
Then, yes, so the question is, can you travel from Prince George's to Montgomery? Sure. If you're now, again, it's one of those situations where if you're within 9 miles or 10 miles, that's probably worth your effort. But if you're traveling from, what is that, Branch Avenue to Montgomery, to somewhere in Montgomery, you probably want to use rail and then get on the Billy's ride because the cost will be cost prohibitive for you to use this particular service. But yes, if you're somewhere in Montgomery County that's very close to the county line and you want to go to Prince George's or vice versa, this program allows you to do so.
Thank you, sir. The reason I brought up the period of performance is because it speaks, I think, to something else that Heidi brought up with the contract and how it differs a little bit from Transport DC. Tap, you're up next.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. One quick question I have. In Metro Access, when I ride, I pay cash. But if I need to ride in a taxi, can I use my credit card?
You can use your credit card, and that was the first option. But of course, being the companies that we chose, both companies will accept cash as well.
Who do you complain to if you have a problem?
Yeah,
exactly.
You complain to the companies, but of course, I want to know about it. If there's an issue, I would rather you call me and let me figure out what's happening and keep up with them, because just like on a fixed route, the customers are my eyes and ears. I have a quality assurance inspector who keeps an eye out on the rail system, but I need you all to tell me what's happening out there. Well, it's the same thing with the Billy's ride, same thing with Transport DC. Whenever there's been a complaint, the company needs to know, but I need to know as well.
Is this a door-to-door service?
It is not door-to-door, it is curb-to-curb, but some drivers are friendlier than others. So if you get one, enjoy it, but just understand not every driver is required. In fact, not any driver is required to provide door-to-door service, but we are giving them sensitivity training, and some may opt to do so.
So I have just a quick question. So are you the project manager for this Ability to Ride?
I'm looking over at Mr. Kent, but no, yes, I'll be the project manager for this.
So one of the things that this committee can think about is we're going to have a whole new program that we need to understand, get statistics on, track, and all that. Do we set up another subcommittee to do that? Do we fold it into Metro Access? I don't know. but it's something to think about because we want to be able to know how it's doing.
I don't mind sharing data on a regular basis. I don't know if we need another committee. But
no, I would not like another committee. But let's think about, as a committee, think about how we want to have a report on the ability to ride so that we're all informed on what's going on. Philippa, you are next.
Thank you. When I get a cab in D.C. from the same location to another same location, sometimes it will take the driver 10 minutes, other times it takes them 20 based on the route they take. So I'm wondering what is in place, I think you may have answered it, to keep an industrious cab driver from turning a 9-mile trip to a 15-mile trip.
Well, the main thing that's in place is that when you call or reserve it on your app or reserve it on the website, you get a firm estimate up front. So the driver can go where they want to, but they can go where they want to, but they're not going to get any more money. So you know how much you're going to pay right up front.
All right, very good. Ms. Melvin, Carolyn.
I have three questions. Will the driver get a police car?
Yes, in the state of Maryland, well, let me be clear. Be careful when you ask the police clearance. I can tell you that taxi cab companies and their operators are required to undergo background checks in the state of Maryland. So the companies have certified the background checks of all the drivers that will be participating. Now, when you say police clearance, are you talking about something more specific?
Well, you can give somebody the background check. We tell you are driving in this accident. But my concern is, in the past, some of the people that have been driving the taxi, or if you're something like, all got the same last name. You understand what I'm saying to you? We have in our program, I'm just concerned about safety. You all go through a thorough check on everybody's looking at the
Well,
are they
going to
be held to the same standards?
Well, let's be clear. They're going to be held to the standards required by Maryland state law. That's all I can offer you. In terms of the last name, maybe they have different first names, but the Maryland state law will prevail in terms of the background check standards.
My next question is, are you saying that anybody can buy both systems at any time? Let's say I'm going to stay in an interaction, but I might come up on a trip, I might need this for the last 2 hours. So I will not be switched to the facilities.
We cannot switch any customer. This is a customer driven program. The only way you're going to be on a trip that's under Abilities Ride is if you call, use their app or their website to make your own reservation.
And sir, on the same day, correct? Same day service?
There is same day service, yes. No, there is no time. Unlike the Transport DC program, there is no time. You can call right now, but as I'm educating the customers, I'm highly encouraging the use of reserve trips. And both companies accept reserve trips as well as long-term subscription trips. Only in the sense that, let's say you're going to work, going to the doctor, some important appointment that's time sensitive, you can call them right now, but if they're busy with a whole lot of other Abilities Ride trips and other trips going on, you may not make your appointment on time. So it is same day, it is on demand, but I'm highly encouraging customers to take advantage of the reservation system that both companies are offering.
Your third question, Carol.
I'm waiting for that.
Let's see, Doris has a question.
All right, so let me go to Paul first and then to Doris.
All right, so my questions are, in those two counties, are they only going to service the service area that is used currently by Metro Bus and Rail or anywhere within the county line is my first question. Next, with the abilities rides, will it be straight shot rides for customers or could it be possibly shared? That's number two. Number three, hours of operation, what would that look like? And four, what are the average wait times?
Okay.
And the fifth question is, I'm throwing one. When the driver gets to the location, how long do they have to wait and are you required to contact the customer, say that they're there, and the time before they would possibly no-show? That's it.
And Paul, you had another question. When does the service begin?
Yeah. So the service begins on September 18th, as it says online.
I just wanted to mention it.
Yeah, I just looked it up online.
Yes. Did you tell the committee about the four questions?
He had part A and part B under one of those questions.
Oh, it's four trips a day, not four questions a day.
He had four A and four B.
Okay, so real quick, the service area will be the Metro Access service area. So if there's a part of Prince George's County or Montgomery County that's served, let's say, by the bus or ride-on, that's not served by Metro Bus and Metro Rail, that part of the county is still served by Metro Access, so Abilities Ride will be out there as well. Okay? All right, so the next one, hours of operation. Well, these are private companies. The incentive for them is to be out there as much as Metro Access and demand is out there. So that's again why I encourage reservations. So as long as there's demand, the companies will be there. And we've seen that in Washington, D.C., where cab companies didn't always stay out all night necessarily. But as demand picks up, they'll be there. And so we want to let them know that there's demand. If you know you have a trip that may be an odd hour, you should make a reservation so that that trip is available to you. Wait times, we don't have average wait times for the companies. We didn't ask that question necessarily as part of the RFP. But we're going to get data on every trip request and every trip completed from the companies. And so we'll be able to calculate wait times for rides that are being subsidized by Village Ride, but not necessarily every ride of the two different companies. So we will have some data on that. In general, drivers are required to wait at least 5 minutes. They're not required to contact the customers, but it's in their interest to do so. Now, one of the things we're doing, if you use the app for the web, one of the things I know many of the folks have asked about is, where's my ride when it comes to Metro Access? Well, we're not promising that yet tonight, but if you use their app or their web, you will have Where's My Ride at your fingertips with these two services. So if there's a challenge, if there's an issue, if you're running late, you thought you were going to be ready, you will be able to contact the driver to let him or her know that, just give me 2 more minutes, give me 3 more minutes, and I'll be down there. But yes, 5 minutes is generally the wait time, but you may have some drivers wait a little longer because these are, this is good business, but we don't want customers to cause disruptions in the service, if you will. Yes, the program does start on September the 18th. Now, that was five, but I think that's the sixth question.
The other one was the shared ride on Billy's.
Oh, yes. Yes, to start right now, both companies are not offering shared rides. So that means all trips will be direct, point-to-point trips. Now, in the future, and I don't want to speak for them because these are private entities running private service, but I can tell you, I mean, it's no secret. I've suggested, do you consider the possibility in the future of a shared ride in exchange for a discounted trip? So now that $5 that took you 7 miles might take you 10, 12 miles. They're considering it, but that's not a part of the service yet. So every trip will be a direct trip to start.
So let me jump to, or let me ask a question. We don't have Abilities Ride Eats yet, do we?
No, not yet.
Just kidding.
No, not yet. It should never know.
It never know. Okay. Dora, you're up next.
Yes. Thanks for the mic on.
You're on, but let me give you a mic. Oh,
I sound like I want to see.
So I had a couple of questions. One is, I understand what you're saying. If you want people to make what's called tax time call, right? I don't know what they'll call it, a reservation.
Reservation.
An advance reservation with them. Okay. So if that's correct, one of the questions that I have is there in the RFP contract a maximum wait time as a performance measure for a waived vehicle?
Very good question. The answer is no. What we're going to do is seek equality across all services. So we're going to analyze the data, and if we find that some trips, i.e., for example, perhaps waived wheelchair accessible vehicle trips are taking a tad bit or even more than a tad bit longer than non-waived trips, we're going to analyze that data. We're going to talk to the companies, figure out why and what adjustments need to be made to reduce that variance.
Okay.
Thank you.
Then also I wanted to ask, I'll just put it all right out there. So I wanted to ask whether this is going to be available to all Metro Access patrons so long as origin and destination are in Maryland, meaning can Virginians take advantage of this once they're in Maryland to go to one place, from one place to another?
The answer is yes.
What?
Yes.
Okay. That's great.
Thank you.
And then I also wanted to ask, since people, this is my understanding of Metro Access offshoot program, that is a WMATA program and it's using the WMATA subsidy. What I wanted to know was if people who use Metro Access and the regular Metro Access system, when they have complaints or issues, come here. And so come here and or make complaints to WMATA. So I want to know if that is going to be the same or different, and I also want to know whether this service, if one is grandfathered in, will serve outside of three-quarter of the month.
And then I need to move on to the next speaker. Go ahead.
Those last two questions were excellent questions. Let's start with the grandfathering. There is no grandfathering necessarily in this program. This program is going to serve the Metro Access Service area of Maryland. Depending on the success of the program, it certainly has the possibility of expanding to other parts of the Metro Access Service area, but it will not extend, at least right now. Oh, well, that's part of, for us, we consider that part of the service area, yes, yes. And then you also asked about...
Complaints.
No, I asked... Oh, the complaints. So, yes, could customers, as I mentioned earlier, to Ms. Rush, I believe, I think customers should call, well, the complaints line go to the companies, but I definitely want to know about them. And yes, if a customer wants to come here to the AAC or the Metro Access Subcommittee and complain at all about Abilities Ride, absolutely. I would point out one of my favorites, Heidi does it a lot, but it's really for a positive thing, like we want to do more of it. But I haven't heard too many complaints about the service itself. But this is certainly an open forum, an informational forum that anything Metro involved or is Metro related, this is a forum for customers to express their concerns.
Thank you, sir. Let me go to Randy Poe.
Okay, so Mr. Kent asks, what transparency is there as a result?
Yeah.
Randy's
speaking. Yeah.
So, I guess I just want to remind everybody just about these overlapping conversations again, which is not using NIH interpreters, I guess, to be a problem. It's a district I've been speaking with, and I think we should, but I would appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
One of the requirements in the RFP is immediate reporting of complaints and or incidents. So any complaint and or incident is reported to Metro contractually, and then we follow up and find out what's going on. We do our own sort of investigations, and we talk to the management, and talk about drivers. And there has been one driver I know, again, just using an example, of Transport DC, who we said doesn't fit this model, and the company removed them from that program. So we are going to be on these companies and their drivers to ensure that the service is provided right, but they are required by contract. Yes. Now the customer rating of the driver, but let me be clear. So after every trip, customer gets to rate the driver if they're using an app. So that's kind of the give and take. If you're using the app, you get to rate the driver without the app, unless you call back to the company, and that's kind of hit and miss in terms of knowing what is actually reported in that regard. But using the app, you can rate the driver in your trip experience.
Very good. Let me jump to Elmer, and then I'll try to... No, I'm first going to Elmer. He hasn't spoken. Charlie already spoke once. Elmer, you're next. And we'll see if we have time for a second set of questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to ask about the way we can communicate with drivers or the agency in terms of, let's say, by using Transport DC, I have faced different situations with different drivers when they come to pick me up. Because we do know that it is not door-to-door, but curb-to-curb. Nevertheless, I am wondering about the sensitivity training that you said that they are going to receive, or they received this already, because I don't see that at all. And when I approach the driver asking, would you please help me with the door and with the seatbelt, it's just the response is really something that I am not expecting. Completely opposite with what we see with Metro Access drivers. So how far the sensitivity training really goes with these drivers, how effective is this, and secondly, can we use technology? Because when we do refer or when we do a reservation, can we just write it that, okay, this passenger needs assistance with the door and seat there. So when they receive that information on the system, whoever the driver is, he knows that in advance, so he is prepared or she is prepared. And we just reduce this kind of close confrontations with driver versus passenger. So that is my point. Thank you.
I think that's fair. I don't know if it's a question, but I did hear a question about the technology. I can answer that and say that, well, one, let's back up. When you have a problem with the driver, if the driver doesn't want to provide door-to-door service, there's not much I can do because that's not required of Transport DC. It won't be required of this. However, if a driver is being rude or just not cooperative, you should let me know and let me step in, at least on the back end, to try to help that driver understand the opportunity they have and why it's important to provide a certain level of service. In terms of the sensitivity training, today was the first day because as Mr. Cannon and I have both been saying, we've been totally out of the process. We wrote the plan, and we gave the plan to the procurement team, and they did their job. Today was the first day I actually spoke with the companies. They each have training programs, but we also have a training program that we're going to share with them and have as an extra follow-up. But again, I need to know when it come, when a driver in particular is not doing what we want he or she to do. But the technology piece, on Metro Access, yes, there is a manifest, as we say, that gives a lot of details about each individual customer. The only thing we're sharing with the customer, about the customer with these companies, is your Metro Access ID so they can verify your name, your first and last name, and your address. We are not sharing a whole lot of other added information. And if you look at their apps and their websites, there's not a box to like fill in more or additional information. When you call, if you call a reservation, and I know I've done this on behalf of customers with Transport DC, you can let the dispatcher know the things you were mentioning, and they can share that information with the driver, but that's not a, the idea of a box or a manifest that's similar to Metro Access is not part of the contract, and it's not going to be a guaranteed feature.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to go to Charlie and Tam, and then I'm going to cut this part of the discussion off. I want to spend the next part after this to go outside. I'd like to reconvene at 7. B, you have a lot of things to talk to us about, administrative things going on in the next couple of months.
Yes.
I want to have time for that. So Paul and Ed, I may cut your reports short. But we didn't do anything last month anyway. So there you go. So let me go quickly to Charlie and let me go to Tam. The reason why I want to get out to the bus is that's equally important. We want to get feedback on the bus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Charlie.
My question really is relevant to the last question that was raised. I fail to understand the non-obligation of the taxi company to provide door-to-door service when that service is actually required for the passengers to be able to take advantage of the ride. In my case, obviously, I can't see when the ride comes. So I need to know when you're there. And, you know, it's not a question of whether the courier is or not, it's a question I need to know it. And in the example that Albert just presented, it seems to me that if a person cannot take advantage of the ride, because they're not providing the auxiliary accommodation that is needed, then that itself is another problem. So I think we need to work on that, because that's not acceptable that we might do that.
Okay. Mr. White.
I think Charlie's raising some good points. When it comes to customers with visual disabilities, again, if you use the accessible app, the information you're saying, I need to know they're out there, it's on there. And so there's a technological solution to trying to make that accommodation. Now, when you say a customer or the driver did not want to appear to put on a seatbelt, well, fastening a seatbelt is a requirement. You're not supposed to ride in the state of Maryland without a seatbelt. Well, this is a DC either, right? So, again, that's something I need to know about kind of closer to the incident, not, you know, later, so that we can address that individual driver to find out why he or she did not conduct the basics of transportation safety. However, back to the door-to-door, which you began it with, this is not a door-to-door service. If Charlie Crawford, Montgomery County citizen, called a cab to take you to the airport, you can request them to come to your door, but it's not an obligation or requirement. And what we're doing here is subsidizing current private operated service that's following the laws of the state of Maryland. Door-to-door service is a unique and wonderful feature of Metro Access, but it is not a feature, generally speaking, of the taxi cab industry. So we're not trying to change the taxi business model. We're trying to subsidize their existing service.
And so one question that I have that has not been asked, these apps have been tested on the iPhone or the Android to make sure they're accessible.
Yes. technical evaluation team did verify that that was part of the solicitation requirements. And so, yes, the apps are accessible.
Right.
Well, and the websites.
We'll let you know.
Of course, I know you will.
If there are glitches.
And I've got my my personal lawyer, David Schaefer, who's going to be working on it as well.
We'll try to download those now. Let me go to TAP quickly, and then Mr. Kent, I'm going to wrap up.
I have a very good question, Mr. Green. Since Metro Access is subsidizing mobility rights to private companies, don't you think they should have some kind of training, that the owner of the company or the private, some kind of training from your office, from where the coordinator of ADA, that ADA requirements, law policies, and legal rights and all those things, and that boils down to the sensitivity training and everything that we discussed. So, do they have that knowledge of ADA requirements? Because if OMART is subsidizing and OMART are getting federal government grants, so ADA comes into the picture. That's my point.
And that's a very good point. Yes, we will be providing each company with a training that was developed by Metro's Department of Access Services. I do want to clarify one thing. It doesn't take away from your point at all, so I'm not trying to, but I just like to be clear. There are no federal funds involved in this particular program. So let's be real clear about that. No federal funds. But again, that doesn't take away from your point, and so we agree with your point. As part of the technical evaluation, the companies had to demonstrate the training they provide to their drivers as it relates to customers with disabilities. And Metro, we're going to provide access developed training as it relates to serving customers with disabilities as well.
Thank you. And Mr. Kent, you have a final word. Heidi, if we have some more time at the end of the meeting, I'll recognize you. Mr. Kent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Kent.
Mr. Chair, thank you for giving me a moment to address the committee. One of the reasons why I wanted Mr. Blake to make this presentation, and I thank you, Mr. Blake.
You did a
fine job. Thank you. Nice work. And there's a reason why he's the project manager. You know, Chris researched this type of service very, very thoroughly for a long time before we went down this road. And of course, I see our colleagues in the audience who also have not only researched it, but experienced forms of this type of service and are very concerned about how this rolls out. I want you all to know that you had a lot more influence over WMATA than you may think. And I want to specifically address why we are rolling out Abilities Ride the way we are, because Chris has given you a lot of the what and the when and the how, but I think we need to talk about the why a little bit. We know, and Ms. Case has been a strong advocate of this for quite some time, that the taxi industry is a potential resource for the disability community. Not every city and county has the same amount of taxi service available. Not every taxi company has a supply of accessible vehicles. And the disability community has made it clear that it would be good business to make more taxi companies have more accessible vehicles, and then to employ taxi companies to share the responsibility of providing transportation services to the disability community. WMATA agrees with this. WMATA also has no desire to corner at the market and monopolize all disability-related transportation, because it simply cannot with the volume of demand that is out there. So what we are doing, we are taking this incrementally, and we agree with all the points that you all have raised about ultimately what is needed, because a lot of your frame of reference is the basically pointing to the features of Metro Access. That you certainly expect us for ADA paratransit to have all of the things that you mentioned today. And it is because of the fact that all those requirements are in place that it becomes a more expensive service to provide. And the thing is, if we loaded our RFP for Abilities Ride with all the same requirements that Metro Access has, there would be no opportunity to stretch the dollars to serve more people. So we're starting out with only some of those pieces in place at the beginning, in the hopes that the people who can take advantage of the features that are available at the beginning will give enough business to these companies that they will grow and add more service and indeed go and acquire more accessible vehicles. That's part of what we are trying to accomplish. So we are trying to accomplish the same thing that you all are talking about. When we put our document out, we told the companies you do have to have background checks, as Ms. Bellamy said, and you do have to have training, as Elbert and Charlie have spoken about. And the thing is, we are going to assist them where we can in a consultative way to say, here's some really good material to use for training. Here's some approaches we've used that are effective. But what we didn't do is tell them in the contract, you have to do the training exactly the way that we do it, or that you have to do the background checks exactly the way Metro does it. Taxi commissions actually have very stringent background requirements. So, you know, we actually did not have to spell out requirements in that area that were greater, because there are already some good requirements that are in place. By doing this and getting these companies interested in serving the disability community, we were able to get companies to do something that some of the other companies that you all, you know, have discussed with us were not willing to do. And that's frankly why you all, I mean, I know that's why many of you were very concerned about which way Metro was going to go, because we told you we were not going to put a service in place unless it had wheelchair accessible vehicles, and we kept our promise. We also kept our promise in the sense that there, you know, the issues that I just mentioned, the background checks are part of this, the training is part of this. The only difference between Abilities Ride and Metro Access is that they are going to be much more subject to your opinions and market forces than Metro Access is, because Metro Access is held accountable by the ADA in a much different way. And, you know, we're not going to make sure that Metro Access is ADA compliant because Metro is afraid of losing money or losing customers. We're going to comply with the ADA no matter what, because ADA paratransit does that. These companies are going to provide a similar service for a lower cost, which we hope is going to serve more people. And there are amenities on this service that Metro Access doesn't provide, like same day. I mean, instead of having, again, you know, no, it's not door to door, but it is same day. So somebody who wants to travel same day is now going to have an option to do that where they were not able to do so before. Also, by starting this program in Maryland, that's where two-thirds of our Metro Access trips are delivered. So the majority of people who are using Metro Access right now are traveling in the area where Abilities Ride is going to start up. So there are a lot of things about this that I think could really be very exciting and an improvement for the customers. But, and I know I need to close, but I'm just going to share with you that we did not ignore. Far from it, we took the things that you said into account when we put this program into place. And just because it's starting off this way, I can assure you that if this program takes off the way that Transport DC did, and these companies are able to pick up quite a bit of business, then that alone is going to generate funding and other resources to add more accessible taxi vehicles to this service area, which is a very important thing. And as Heidi mentioned, Heidi's concerned because the Transport DC program has run into some capacity and budget issues, and she wants to know if the same thing, I guess, is going to happen to Abilities Ride, right? I mean, that's essentially your question. And the thing about it is, I'm going to tell you this, we are going to start by talking to the Metro Access customers who use Metro Access the most. And we're going to invite those individuals to try Abilities Ride first, because those individuals are the ones that are taking up the most capacity on Metro Access. And if they like Abilities Ride, and they're willing to try that system, it's going to make a lot of room for people on Metro Access. And I can assure you that because of the fact, and this is important, because of the fact that this program is being funded by the same budget that pays for Metro Access, and as Heidi said, because it's a WMATA-sponsored activity, we are putting forth a subsidy for Abilities Ride because we can directly show how rides on Abilities Ride are offsetting the cost of Metro Access. So it is a self-funding program. And we anticipate that it is going to be sustainable and that it is going to be able to accommodate the growth. And we've already thought of that. We already know how many people we have. We know how many people we'd like to have try the new program. So we hope that it will grow to that point. And we are very confident that it's going to be financially sustainable in addition to being able to improve the supply of taxis in the region. So, Mr. Chair, thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. Let's see. Thank you, Mr. Kent. I'd like to have about 20 minutes outside for folks to look at the vehicle. Can you do your piece in 20 minutes?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Let's adjourn. Let's recess until 10 after 7 and meet back here. Let's go take a look at the vehicle outside.